for something spectacular!
Stay tuned now for a dramatization of Dickens' immortal Tale of Two Cities. Tales of Two Cities.
We interrupt this program to annoy you and make things generally irritating.
The Spoken Word.
We'll begin this audio track's imaginative journey with the creative and down-home humor of Vic and Sade. Vic and Sade was an American radio program created and written by Paul Reimer. It was regularly broadcast on radio from 1932 to 1944, then intermittently until 1946, and was briefly adapted to television in 1949 and again in 1957. During its 14-year run on radio, Vic and Sade became one of the most popular series of its kind, earning critical and popular success. It's been said that Vic and Sade had 7 million devoted listeners in 1943. For the majority of its span on the air, Vic and Sade was heard in 15-minute episodes without a continuing storyline. That's an interesting point. No continuous storyline. Each show was a separate story. The central characters, known as radio's home folks, were accountant Victor Rodney Gook, played by Art Van Harvey, his wife Sade, played by Bernadine Flynn, and their adopted son Rush, played by Bill Idelson. The three lived on Virginia Avenue in the small house halfway up the next block. The program was presented with a low-key ease and naturalness, and Reimer's humorous dialogue was delivered with a subtleness that made even the most outrageous events seem commonplace and normal. Though the town where Vic and Sade lived was never named, it is believed to have been a fictionalized Bloomington, Indiana. Vic, Victor Rodney Gook, was the chief accountant of the Consolidated Kitchenware Company, Plant No. 14. He was the exalted Big Dipper of the Drowsy Venus chapter of the Sacred Stars of the Milky Way, a fraternal order which was founded by R.J. Conk. Vic's passion was parades, alarm clocks, and doorbells. He was often asked to submit articles to the Kitchenware Dealers Quarterly and the Lodge magazine. Russ's, or Russell's, nickname for Vic was Gov. Sade was a housewife who took pride in her housekeeping. Her interest outside the home was primarily focused on the Thimble Club sewing circle, where she and the Thimble ladies would get together to sew and gossip. She was very pragmatic about things and had a little sense of humor. Her world extended to a very small radius, and she cared little for anything outside her tightly drawn circle. Vic's usual nickname for Sade was Dr. Sleech, and Russ, or Russell, just called her Mom. On this track of Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program, you're going to hear a Vic and Sade episode from February 27th, 1940, Deep Currents of School Life Gossip. So here is Vic and Sade, Mr. Victor Gook, his wife Sade, and their adopted son, Russ.
Well, sir, it's a few minutes past 7:30 o'clock as we join our friends at the small house halfway up in the next block now, and we find all three of them in the living room, comfortably settled for a quiet evening at home. Vic is seated at the library table playing solitaire. Young Rush lounges on the davenport doing absolutely nothing. And Sade, in her husband's easy chair, glances listlessly through the newspaper. She lays it aside now, observing,
Willie, I was talking to Miss Call this afternoon, and she said Mr. Chinbunny got bawled out for letting him print his picture in the newspaper week before last, or whenever it was.
Yeah, I heard that.
Severely criticized by the Board of Education.
Uh-huh. They give him the dickens. Told him it was a very undignified thing for the principal of a high school to engage in cheap and frivolous newspaper stunts.
I thought it was kind of halfway cute.
Board of Education's a pretty strict outfit.
Must be.
Fired a teacher just last month for wearing too much jewelry.
And Miss Call mentioned that, too.
Hmm.
Mentioned several little gossips. I was astonished. I always think of school as a place where children sit and study and recite their lessons and everything's peaceful and quiet as a horse. According to Miss Call, lots of different interesting stuff goes on.
High school, ma'am, is a hotbed of politics. Wheels within wheels. Crossed wires. High school is a seething river of human emotions.
Holy smoke, who's talking? Is there somebody in the room running for Congress, Sadie?
Sure sounds like it.
Repeat that speech, Walnut Stain. I want to paste it in my hat.
I was quoting from a composition Leland Richards wrote.
Leland must be one of the great minds of the present era.
He got that junk out of a book.
How's it go again?
High school is a hotbed of politics. Wheels within wheels. Crossed wires. High school is a seething river of human emotions.
Ibbity, bibbity, sibbity, sam.
You hear what we were talking about?
With one ear, maybe.
I was telling Willie I had a chat with Miss Call this afternoon, and she said Mr. Chinbunny got put on the carpet on account of that picture the newspaper printed.
Boy, the education guys consider it a trifle too bizarre.
Considered it undignified.
Hmm.
According to Miss Call, there's lots of kind of halfway exciting stuff goes on up at high school. Told several little gossips.
It's a seething river of human emotions.
Chevy, chevy, English navy. My feet are large, my hair is wavy.
There's no fooling. High school is a hotbed of politics. Wheels within wheels. Crossed wires. A seething river of human emotions.
You never tell us any of the little gossips, Willie.
Sure I do. Trouble with you people is you never listen to a guy.
How do you mean?
I come home here and start to tell something exciting that happens up at school and nobody pays me a nickel's worth of attention.
I guess that is true sometimes.
True all the time.
Oh, hey, now, listen.
How about my story where Smelly Clark's Uncle Strap escorted his lady friend to Peoria for purposes of enjoying fish dinner?
Well, how about it?
I've started to tell that story to you and Gov 19,000 different times. Did I ever get the opportunity to finish it? No, I never.
Smelly Clark's uncle and his lady friend eating fish got nothing to do with school.
Same idea, though. Why, tonight at the supper table, I tried to relate an anecdote about school.
How's that?
Elwin Stovely and the butter patties.
Oh, I expect I was busy.
You were sitting there eating.
Was I?
Sure. I told you that entire anecdote, and I'll bet $40 you and Gov neither one heard a single doggone word.
I have a vague recollection of it, Matchbox.
Yeah, vague recollection.
But, Sonny, you talk so much. When you're home here, you're talking constantly. It's impossible for a person to keep track of everything you say.
Uh-huh.
What about Edgar? What's his name, Ramrod?
Yeah. I just about get my mouth open and say four words, and you and Mom would strike up a conversation on some other topic.
I assure you, chum, that won't be the case on this occasion.
You have to remember you're still a little boy. Fathers and mothers have to interrupt once in a while.
Uh-huh.
I expect you do get cut off short in your talky-talk sometimes, but goodness, 14-year-old kids ain't grown-up men.
Tell us about Edwin Mowgli.
Elwin Stovely.
I want to know about Edwin Stovely and sausage patties.
Butter patties.
Exactly.
Is this little high school gossip's rush?
Yeah.
Well, tell.
Elwin Stovely's a senior.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday noon he ate his dinner at the high school cafeteria. He was standing at the desk having his tray checked, and the cashier noticed a butter patty peeking out of his mashed potatoes. She grabbed a fork and dug down in the mashed potatoes and found three other butter patties.
He was stealing them?
Well, that's kind of a harsh word, Mom. Stealing is what it amounted to, I guess, though.
What's the price on butter patties?
Penny apiece.
Fred Stembottom does that with olives when he eats in cafeterias.
Is he?
Every time. Embarrasses Ruthie to death. She's so scared he'll get caught at it. If he'd only hide one or two olives in his mashed potatoes. But he crams them in so thick there's only a little film of mashed potatoes to cover them all, and the darn mashed potatoes look like bright green mashed potatoes. The lady where you pay your check gives him the funniest looks. Ruthie fights shy of eating in the cafeteria anymore just on account of that. Mm. He's a corker, that friend.
See, man. I never got any more opportunity to tell my story than a rabbit.
Oh, I thought you were through with your story.
It's okay.
No, I did. I thought you'd finished. Well, go ahead. Did they punish the boy for taking butter patties?
The boy made restitution.
Paid for the butter patties?
He paid for 175 butter patties.
Really?
He estimated that during his high school career, he'd hidden 175 butter patties in his mashed potatoes while taking meals at the cafeteria. He handed over $1.06 and cried a little and said he was happy his conscience was clear and stated he was going to turn over a new leaf and never perpetrated another dishonest act as long as he lived.
Well.
Things as dramatic as that take place up at school every day of the year.
Yeah, guess they do, from what Miss Call was saying.
High school is a hotbed of politics. Wheels within wheels. Crossed wires. High school is a seething river of human emotions.
Tell your father about the teacher that got discharged for wearing too much jewelry.
Miss Adams. Taught commercial geography. Used to come to class wearing 6 rings, 3 bracelets, and a necklace. Board of Education warned her it wasn't dignified. On the heels of the warning, she showed up with 8 rings, 4 bracelets, and 2 necklaces. Fired.
The capsule of fiery, undiluted drama.
The way Miss Call told it to me, the teacher didn't care if she got fired or not. Planned on getting married anyway.
Indulged in a wedding the day after she got canned. Husband is T.J. Unkers here in town. They reside 719 North Willoughby Street.
And there was some other little gossip about, is there a manual training teacher named Mr.,
Gutcher.
Yeah.
His wife beats him.
Yeah. What's that little gossip?
Mr. Gutcher shows up at school every couple of days with a black eye or a bump on his head. Mrs. Gutcher beats him with a vacuum sweeper.
Imagine that, Vic.
Uh-uh.
How do you kids find out all this stuff?
It gets talked around. No, ma'am, you take several hundred people in one building, and there's bound to be wheels within wheels, bound to be crossed wires.
Uh-huh.
Well, getting away from it, high school is a seething river of human emotion.
You said that.
Last week, Mr. Chinbunny's secretary broke off a front tooth, slipping on ice and falling on her face. They had a small fire in the physics laboratory one afternoon. Somebody put a notice on the bulletin board that said Mr. Ehlers, the chief janitor, was a horse thief. Bluetooth Johnson knocked himself silly, hitting his head on the bottom of the swimming pool. Not a day goes past, but something exciting happens. Nope, there's no getting away from it. High school is a seething river of human emotions.
I used to be a seething river of human emotions myself. It was in the year 1886, and I was an acrobat in the circus. Quite a little story in that connection. I'll tell you people the story.
Miss Call say anything about Mr. Royce and Miss Willers, ma'am?
No, who are they?
Mr. Royce teaches music, and Miss Willers works in the principal's office. They're engaged to be married.
Really?
It's a secret. Nobody's supposed to know about it.
Well, how come you know about it?
Stuff gets talked around.
The whole student body knows it then, huh?
Oh, sure.
Well, I was astonished. I always thought of school as being a place where...
The whole student body knows Mr. Chinbunny shaves the top of his head so he'll have a bald spot and look older. The whole student body knows the basketball coach, Mr. Volk, puts on cowboy clothes and plays the guitar after supper at home every evening. The whole student body knows the Board of Education is going to change the grading system next semester. High school is a hotbed of politics and junk, man.
Must be.
The halls buzz with secret information.
Mm-hmm.
I know secrets about Mr. Freezy, the building engineer. I know secrets about Smelly Clark. I know secrets about Annabelle Hemstreet, Mildred Tisdale, Eunice Raypool, Bluetooth Johnson, Leland Richards, Rooster Davis, Milton Wells.
Are you going to name off your whole circle of acquaintances?
Just giving you people a general idea.
Mm-hmm.
Just giving you people a general idea of the labyrinthine complexities of life at high school.
Holy smokes, Abe. Labyrinthine complexities.
There's some more junk from Leland Richards' composition.
I guess school ain't a place where children sit around and recite their lessons peaceful and quiet.
I know.
Mm.
Wheels within wheels.
Mm.
Crossed wires.
Mm.
A seething river of human emotions.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block.
And that concludes this track of Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program with yours truly, John Lovering. This podcast originates on SoundCloud.com, but can also be heard on iTunes and Google Play. Just go to iTunes or Google Play and search for Heirloom Radio. That's Heirloom, H-E-I-R-L-O-O-M, Radio. I also invite you to visit my Heirloom Radio Facebook page at facebook.com/Heirloom Radio. And be sure to check out my ever-growing list of old radio programming from every genre, from musicals to quiz shows and everything in between. And please tell your friends about Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program. And I thank you for listening. Stay safe and be well.